This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
We have $1 billion walking in and out of these offices looking for love.
Judith?
We have a standard to uphold. That blouse, it's telling it all.
So does your dress.
What's wrong with my dress?
Can you even breathe?
How was your third week? Any better? That bad, huh?
Why am I wasting my time helping old men get a date?
Yeah, I could get out and start my own practice.
Your marriage counselor, I'd be on my way.
Right now, you don't need to be thinking about that.
What's that?
The largest social media inventor since Zuckerberg
is looking to invest in my company.
Do you run Landover Park?
You run there?
Every Saturday.
With your shirt off, so all the pretty girls could notice you.
Well, you notice me running. How long you guys been married?
6 years. I've known him for 19.
He's the only guy you've ever been with.
We're very compatible.
You have nothing to compare it to.
It's the second year in a row, Bryce.
I'm sorry.
My husband forgot my birthday.
Does he even notice you anymore?
Touchdown!
If you want me, then you say it.
On the first page of a story.
Imagine me running into you.
The future seems.
If I had a woman like you, I wouldn't miss a thing.
Hey, you must be Bryce, right?
Yeah.
Harley.
I fell down when Harley helped me out. See you later.
Nice to meet you.
What are you dreaming about?
I don't really dream anymore. What do you dream about?
You?
I've never seen you act like this. Talk to me. Judith!
That boy is gonna hurt you something bad.
I wanna feel alive. I wanna feel wanted.
You never know who you're married to. You start off one way and end up somebody else.
You don't know how much I love you.
Just gonna stand there and hear me cry.
Most women can't handle the kind of emotion that I bring.
He gonna take you straight to hell.
Episode of the third season of Newcomers. We're working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work for the very first time with the help of Perry scholars, superfans, and sometimes people who have contributed. There's one episode left because we're doing 15. Today, Wow. We watched Tyler Perry's romantic drama. I don't know if there was any romance in this.
That's questionable.
Temptation: Confessions of a Marriage Counselor from 2013.
Oh my God. If you want to watch this movie, it is available for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu, and you can record it on Philo. And obviously, we're going to spoil the movie for you, so if you want to watch it first to avoid spoilers, then do that. It's... You might want to watch it, honestly. I mean, I'm not saying because I liked it. I'm saying our guest is incredulous right now. Before we bring out our guest, Nicole, thoughts on the film?
Wow. Okay, I gotta say, this is Tyler Perry's most current feeling film. It felt like of this moment.
And it's
it
from
was
2013.
Shot well. Yeah, I mean, it is from 2013, but like, we just watched something from 2019 that felt like it was shot in 2000.
Yes. No, I agree with you. I was guessing as I was watching and thought it was from like 2016, but it was all based on Kim Kardashian's looks that I was going off of. I was like, her face looks 2016 to me.
This is the fourth iteration of this face. I gotta say, what a long meandering movie. And then you get to the juice. And then, boy, the cup runneth over. It's wild.
It becomes so insane. It's completely, it does a 180 in a way that there's no explanation for it. There's no justification.
Not one.
We don't need it at all, I guess. We go from having like the most Christian religious character who won't have sex before marriage to she becomes a horrible devil. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
like
even know.
A sloppy... Like, lady who wobbles around and we don't know if she's drunk or on something
or
and
just
then her
mean.
Hair. Yeah, so mean. Her mom gets thrown down. Boy.
We got to bring our guest out, okay? Our guest is one of the funniest people in the world. She's a comedian, actress, and writer. She can be seen as Carol on Apple's Mythic Quest. She also co-hosts the fabulous podcast I listen to every week, Couples Therapy. And I love a Lifetime movie. It's Naomi Ekperigin. Welcome, Naomi.
I'm mad at both of y'all. How dare you bring me onto this podcast and have me watch this motion picture? I mean, you think that you are connected with people. You think that you maybe have a mutual respect and understanding. And then they put you through a process. Because that's what I call that movie. Being put through a process.
Have you watched Tyler Perry movies before?
I had only seen like a couple Madeas and then like... What, maybe Why Did I Get Married? You know?
Yeah.
Like that, but that was it.
Oh my God.
And it was more dramatic works.
Naomi's text, because we were texting about during the movie, we were watching at the same time, and you were actually keeping me going because I put it on initially and then I was like, I gotta take a shower. This happened before. This has happened with another Tyler Perry movie. I was like, I put it on, I settle in, and then I go, let me just get myself as comfortable as I could possibly be. And yep. then really do this. And so I came back. And by that point, I was 10 minutes behind you. Mm-hmm. And you were just giving me so much motivation because you'd be like, oh, my God, the craziest thing happens at 1:30 or whatever. And I'm like, I can't wait. So it's just it was really exciting to watch it together because it's a journey. It is. And no pun intended. Yeah. Journey.
Journey went on a journey. Yes, she did.
She sure did.
This movie is... so slow. So
the slowest.
So
you texted me
slow.
And you were like, this movie is pretty wild. I can't wait to talk about it. So I was like, ooh, baby, buckle up every 5 minutes, just like The Oval, which I am fully caught up in. I watched 30.
Oh, my God.
I believe 30 plus episodes of The Oval. I am caught the fuck up. I can't wait for July for it to come back. But
yes.
I thought like things would like be happening and then nothing happens until the last like 35 minutes of this movie.
Well, that's so Tyler Perry, but it's also like part of why I was excited for you to watch it is because it's so boring, but the things that are happening are really odd. Like,
yes.
just Kim Kardashian being there, I have so many questions.
For no reason. So many. In 2013, what she was doing there. The question
yes.
of, do you think it was like to ingratiate herself to her black husband? Was it her trying to get bona fides now that she was going to have brown children? Do you think she was like,
wait,
I'm
when
really
did
trying
they get
to start
married?
My career?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Then,
yeah. Yeah. Because her kids are what? Probably like six or something.
Right? Like the oldest one's probably six or seven.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought she was there. And then Journey, because it was funny because, you know, you see Journey and I'm like, okay, well, Journey kind of came back to us. You know what I mean? Like she was a child star and then she reemerged.
Wait, she was a child star?
Yes. Do you remember that? There was a TV show. First of all, she was like on Full House and everything. But then there was like one season of a show with the whole family. Wait. With the whole Smollett family.
Hold on. Like, I have to Google her because I didn't really realize this. She's the girl from 90s. Full House?
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's wild.
Friends with Michelle.
Yes. Okay. She's Michelle's black friend.
Okay,
yes,
honestly, that changes everything for me. That context is really important.
I'm here to bring you that background, that TV and film history.
That makes it even crazier, just her whole journey in this movie. I want to get into it so deeply. I can't. And then we have the guy who she has the affair with, who is like, comes across as like really suave. And then within like, once they start hooking up, he's like the meanest person ever lived.
He's evil.
And even
before they start, you get a little taste that, this guy's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, but at the same time, the man she's married to, not particularly interested in her or supportive.
Forgets her birthday two times.
Forgets her birthday. Like, there are no good options here.
No.
Yeah, terrible options. Also, her mother is truly like, you are the literal devil to this man. And then he was like, I am the devil. I will rip out this Apple computer from 1992 and throw you to the ground.
When
it was the thickest computer I've ever seen.
I know.
Oh my God. No. And then also the part with the whole thing with Brandy, the whole storyline where we get basically nothing about Brandy
we have to walk them through this because Brandy's appearance is the most random thing.
First of all,
the whole time I'm like, what is she doing here with these new veneers? Big Trump.
She did. And the pharmacist, little old white lady who's like, keeps calling her a lesbian.
She
which
is
I
the
don't
funniest
understand at all.
Part of this movie.
She's the Madea.
Yes. She's iconic. I loved her. The scene where she was taking all the candy and he's like, why don't you just take the whole thing? She's like, I don't want the whole thing. And then continues to like take more candy.
Yes.
I'm not describing this well, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
She was funny, but I also was like, what is this storyline? Like, why are we getting this pharmacy storyline at all? Because there was nothing about it. She just kept going, she's not right. She's got something going on. She put that hood on. You know, she had all these like reasons for why something was wrong with Brandy. And it was like, they weren't clear at all. And then the reveal that we get.
Tyler Perry loves a pharmacy.
Does he?
Yes. In the Oval, somebody else works at a pharmacy. Like he loves pharmacies.
He likes to use ideas from himself. He's inspired by his own works.
Right.
He sure
reduce,
is.
Reuse, recycle. I mean, can we get into it? Because one of the things that upset me the most is, yes, one of our leading men is a pharmacist, and yet they live and act like he's in a hovel. A pharmacist is a doctor, okay? Yes. A pharmacist goes to medical school. A pharmacist does rounds. A pharmacist is trained. And pharmacists make good money. Being a pharmacist was like being a like resident or something. Like he just didn't have any money
completely. And same with Journey's character. She's like low self-esteem or something. And the Kim Kardashian keeps saying that she's like sloppy and gross. And I'm like, no, she's not.
Yeah. I was like, if anything, she's stunning.
Exactly.
And just like in a Gap kind of way.
She looks
like, oh, I don't care about, you know, fashion, but like she's still a stunning person.
Right.
Well,
right.
Because we're going to need to break this down scene by scene. Let's jump into our news media segment where we will just give you what's going on with Tyler Perry. Now, this is big news. And of course,
this
Nicole and I were tagged 1 million
news.
Times. On
I got to say, I feel like Tyler Perry is just giving us news for the podcast. Nothing will happen with Tyler Perry.
It feels like it because I don't think there was always news about him before.
No.
And I also feel like people are like tagging us and I'm like, he might see this connection eventually.
I
on
hope
his Twitter.
So. I hope he realizes how many people we have brought to his MCU. Mm-hmm. I hope he casts us in whatever the next Madea movie is.
I will be basically any role except clan member.
I love that you have to specify it because Tyler would have been like, oh, okay, here's your hood. And he'd be like, oh, no, I know I only have to be in it for 12 minutes, but I don't want that.
But he would have been like, well, what about clan member's wife? Clan member's wife. Do you want to bring a cake to the rally?
Who's trying to get out of it. Yeah. So, okay, but he's coming back now. Tyler
Wait,
Perry bring
Lauren, what? That is a fabulous idea for Tyler Perry. To have a movie where a Klan member's wife is trying to escape and Madea helps her.
Oh my God. That would be so good. Madea would probably run a car through them.
Call it the Overground Railroad. Overground. Do we live?
Look, this is how Boo happened, okay?
Yeah, I mean,
Boo was a joke and another thing. We just made up a great idea. It's going to happen. And Tyler Perry will take it and run with it. So Tyler Perry is bringing Madea out of retirement, which is so funny because to me, Madea is not retired at all. She's the forefront of my mind.
She was retired in 2019.
Okay, so that's a really key point. It's been 2 years.
Yeah, we all retired in 2020. Yeah. I mean, right. I don't think you can say you were in retirement last year. Okay.
You know, I feel like, because Tyler was just making tons of shows that he wasn't in. And so he's like, Madea's retired because he doesn't want COVID. And then now he's like, COVID's done. Madea's coming out of retirement. New Netflix film is coming. It's called A Madea Homecoming. Now, if you are shocked by this news, I don't know what to tell you. He will write and direct the film.
Absolutely,
which is
absolutely
the 12th installment of the Madea franchise.
12.
And A Madea Homecoming continues Perry's work with Netflix following 2020's A Fall from Grace, which was watched by 39 million households in its first month. And A Jazzman's Blues, which is expected to premiere later this year.
I mean, Tyler Perry, he's doing it.
Not to mention, I opened up my BET Plus app because I was trying to find the movie on there. And the first thing I see is Tyler Perry's Bruh, which is another show he made during this pandemic.
A TV show called Bruh?
And he also has Sistas.
Oh my God, Sistas and Bruh. And then
I don't know if they like intertwine, but they should.
I'm sure they probably do. I'm sure Mr. Brown is on them. And there was like, I looked on his Wikipedia and he's created 14 TV shows.
How do we get on his casting director's list? I mean, my God.
This is the thing. And what we love is that he shoots everything within a week. So, you know, for all of us, we could fit in our schedule. Like we can find the dates.
Yeah. And I doubt there's like positions. Like you could just do whatever you want while you shoot a Tyler Perry TV show that takes a month out of your life.
Exactly.
Also, Gail from The Oval. She hasn't been in all of season two. I gotta know where she's at. I love The Oval.
Which one's Gail?
Gail is The Oval.
The Oval is.
You gotta watch the pilot.
You have the pilot, honestly, everything that could happen in a pilot happens.
Wow.
But it's Tyler Perry's drama about the White House where he recreated 80% to scale the actual White House.
And it's definitely 80%.
Yeah, like sometimes you're like, the ceiling's low. Like
the ceiling's low. It's like weird looking. Like it's something's a little wrong. Oh, someone was commenting, I don't know if this was you, Nicole, who wrote this online or if I read someone else's comment about The Oval where they were just saying the timeline, he doesn't care at all about timeline. Like the inauguration's happening, which should be in January, yet there are people playing on the lawn. Like it's like
he doesn't give a fuck because he's shooting in Georgia. He's like, flying snow? I couldn't. That'll take time.
Right. That'll cost money. He's like, I have a budget of $55. Now the question is, what is a requirement? You know, that's how you keep that overhead low. That's how you make those millions.
And then the requirement is to have 100 characters that you don't ever name, and you just see them
so
all.
So many characters.
You have to follow as closely as humanly possible to try to understand what's going on and who's related to who. It's incredible.
Oh, he loves it. The Tyler Perry-verse, truly insane.
It's wide, and it's wild, and it's a real treat to be watching this.
I want to get to Tyler Perry's Endgame. Okay, I'm done. Just Endgame, one big cookout. The movie's one giant cookout. And you have all 5,000 characters.
Every character.
5,000.
Every single show. The cult is over in the corner. Oh my God. I'm excited. Okay, why don't we just jump to a break and then we will come back and get into this plot because we just have to get into this. There's no time to waste. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time.
Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. Okay, now, Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, which the title alone, what?
A strange title, and but I guess he's trying to be like, even people who counsel people on their marriages can be tempted to step outside the marriage.
But the marriage counselor thing is like a reveal.
Yes, but I knew something was up with this woman. We knew instantly
that there was definitely something happening. And even within the first moment of her telling her tale, I'm like, it's you? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like... But the title, I don't know, it's a little bit weird. But so it's written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry, released March 29th, 2013.
Based on the play, The Marriage Counselor by Tyler Perry.
Oh, key detail. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yep.
Okay, well, let's see. You want to start us off here?
Sure. So a marriage counselor listens to a young married couple, Bradley and Lisa, after he refuses to participate further. Also, it was such like a disjointed conversation because he was like, I will do anything to stay here with you. And she was like, OK. And he's like, I have to leave. And you're like, whoa.
Oh, also, for the record, this is a Caucasian couple.
Yes.
A Caucasian couple. And you have to know that the marriage counselor's office looks like. It's like a place you would go to also to cash a check, also to renew your license.
Yes.
Like one of those government buildings, very gray.
Yes. It's a really weird office.
A very strange office. And also I felt like he was trying to serve me like Mariah Carey and Precious, where it was just like kind of sloppy and sad. And she's like, I'll tell you something.
Completely. And you're also like, what? Okay. So instantly you're like, do I care about these people or not? I can't tell if I'm supposed to. And you don't need to at all. It is.
No.
They are just a framing device. There is no need to have them.
That we did not need. It was nothing to frame.
Didn't need it at all. You could have just even seen that woman sitting in the office by herself. Like, I don't even know. You don't even need that. But like,
Writing her last will and testament.
But then.
Yes.
That would have been.
But then you don't get the M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end.
You're right.
Which is
mind blowing.
Oh my God.
So the couple.
Tyler Night Shyamalan. I'm sorry. Continue.
The marriage counselor notices a change in the wife's demeanor and assumes she has met someone else and decides to tell her a story about her sister Judith.
But it's such a crazy leap because like basically that woman's like, I'm not sure if I want to fix it. And the guy's like, I really want to fix it. Then he marches out. And then she's like, you met someone else. You like them more. You think that they're going to be better for you. And she was kind of like, yeah. Like, it's like, it was such a leap. So we're taken back in time, which also wasn't completely clear to me.
Yeah, how far back? We don't
know. I'm talking, when we see the ending when Bryce has gray hair, I'm like, how long ago was this?
Yes. Exactly. Also, but you have a child that's four.
Exactly.
So it's like, they aged you up for no reason to look like Ernie Hudson.
Exactly.
And then you very much have a toddler. Oh my God.
He doesn't give a fuck about timelines. Also, this childhood, I was like, is this Black Forrest Gump? What is happening?
Real Black Forrest Gump energy. Yeah, you're very right.
So, okay, we go back in time to follow Judith and her childhood sweetheart, Bryce, as they grow up. So we watch them go from like age four, seven, nine, get married. They move to Washington, D.C.
This is why it's too long. I'm sorry, Lauren. I shouldn't be interrupting you.
No, you can interrupt me. Please interrupt me all the time.
It was too long. And then she's like sneaking out of her house to see him. The mother's like,
we didn't need it, though.
We didn't need it.
Because what we come to find out is that Bryce is not the right man for her, ultimately.
Yes.
So it's like, why do I need to know that they have this history? I can understand that from someone just saying we've been friends since we were little and we've been together since we were young.
So she's narrating it and she was like, so Bryce asked for my hand in marriage and my mom reluctantly said yes. And then the mom goes, yes. And I was like, wow.
The reluctant yes was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like she was like, all right. Like it was so weird. So, they get married to move to Washington, D.C. Judith becomes a therapist and works at a matchmaking agency.
And we need to just talk about this, okay? So, wait, where did you say they moved? Because I had no idea what city they were in.
They're in D.C., which I don't think was made clear at all.
Okay, now let me paint you a picture. D.C. looks like 1940s Baltimore.
Thank you.
They have dressed this, everyone's setting. Bryce owns like a jalopy pickup truck.
Even like, the pharmacy is like so old Woolworths kind of thing. Like it's super old.
The whole vibe. It's got this kind of, especially with that start, which is basically the Mariah Carey Always Be My Baby video. Just them, you know, as children being in love. And you're like, okay, is this 1960? That's the energy there. But she goes to matchmake.
It's like she's a matchmaker, which feels really current.
Yes.
And then Bryce, the husband, works as a pharmacist in this like old timey pharmacy.
It's as if they're in two separate time periods.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's old timey. She's somewhat current. And then Vanessa Williams.
No, we gotta talk about her. So she's French for some reason.
She starts out French.
The French, it's so unclear. Like she comes and she's like, she's like to Kim Kardashian, which is also a crazy thing. She's
oh,
like,
yeah, Kim bonjour. Kardashian's there.
I know. Yes. She's like, bonjour, good morning. I'm like, well, we know what bonjour means. Like, come on. Like, give me some credit. Like, I don't need that one translated. But like, she's French and her accent is really bad. This terrible. Does have a payoff later. Not payoff, yeah. But it has
well,
a review.
I mean, another M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Yeah. She's forgiven for not having done any dialect training for this. Yeah. Because uh-huh. There's a point to that later.
It was terrible, but no one... But everyone acts as though it's not. Like, it is, this office is supposed to be sleek and fancy, and Kim Kardashian's in a flesh-toned bandage dress.
Yeah,
and
it's like
she is monotone and mean. Uh-huh. Monotone
She's
and
like,
mean.
Why do you dress like that? Why are you wearing that? She's just insulting
her
Dream.
Like, her in a movie was distracting, because I was like, very few normal people speak like this.
Yes. A monotone baby. She sounds like a sad baby. Because it's like, she's like, why are you dressed like that?
Uh-huh.
This is a job about looking good.
And she's like, so obsessed with her, with Journey not being dressed well enough. And I had no complaints about anything she was wearing. I did not
I
strike me as
had
weird
no
at
complaints.
All.
And she says at one point, she was like, the way you dress is a reflection on me. Because if you dress badly, people will think you don't have any friends. And we're friends.
And I was like, and I would let my friends dress like that. I was like, this is all contrived. So Bryce meets another employee, Melinda, at work, and that's Brandy. And she reveals she's on the run from an abusive ex-boyfriend.
Well, she's starting her first day at the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, old white lady. Does she have a name? The fact is, Tyler Perry's white people are always cartoony. So this woman is out of central casting for a 1947 soda shop pharmacy.
There should be a show called Tyler Perry's White People. Oh my God, the pharmacist didn't make our cast list. I don't know her name.
See? I looked it up. It is Renee Taylor. I just love her.
Name?
She's been in Taylor.
Oh, that's her real name. That's
her
real
name. Yeah, she's got 19. Her real name's Renee Taylor. I don't know what her name is in this. But she's,
I don't think she had one. That's the whole point. She is just unnamed old white lady.
No. Okay, her name is Ms. Waco Chapman.
What?
Stop.
Waco Chapman?
Is it a hyphenated name?
No.
What?
What?
No, that's not a single name.
Her name is Ms. Waco, I believe, is her first name, and Chapman is her last
name. Waco Chapman? Okay, so he literally did that thing where you're like, this character could be called woman, or we could name her like an insane
Waco
name.
Right. That's what happens when you've written 5,000 characters.
Yeah, he's
what I mean?
The only name left is Waco Chapman.
Exactly. He's run out of them. He's like, oh God, I used Judith 4 movies ago, but I feel like people will forget. You know?
Oh my God. Okay. So, oh God. Also, when she's like running away from her ex-boyfriend, she like puts her hood on. And I was like, who are you, Jessica Jones? Like, are you like going to like avenge people's debt? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then she was like running through the streets. And then she gets home, she gets in her house, and she's like holding a baseball bat. And I'm like, who's in?
And
who's
her
in there?
Home is from 1942. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
The fridge has not been seen in any place I've ever been in my entire life. It's a white box that's probably 4 feet tall, but is shaped round and is from a 1950s home. And the oven is like literally 4 inches wide and is a piece of shit. And everything is covered in dirt.
Everything is dirty and sooty. It's sooty. It's like, it looks like, I feel like she would have been in, what do you call it? What was that shirt? The triangle waistcoat fire, like 1900s tenement energy is what I'm saying.
Yes.
1900s tenement.
Something went wrong there recently, but it's a very old apartment. I don't know why. It's so weird.
It's a choice.
I don't like it. I always hate when people like show that someone's poor by making everything dirty. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, that's not accurate. Like everything's been covered in dirt.
Yeah. You can get thee to a thrift store and find some really cute stuff.
Yes.
And then, I don't know, it was just like maybe mismatched furniture. I don't know. There was another way.
There are ways to show that.
Show, yes.
Yes.
That she's
or
like
instability.
On the run.
Like maybe she doesn't have much stuff or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You don't have to also be poor. You're already on the run. And she ends up having too much going on as far as I'm concerned.
I completely agree. Okay.
Judith is dissatisfied with her job and eager to start her own business. But Bryce tells her to wait until they're doing better financially. Bryce takes Judith out for dinner at a $5.99 buffet.
I think she even said it was $1.99.
Did like she say was it was
like, oh, because that was the $5.99 was the upgrade.
Yeah, but he was joking, but like not. But again, this is the thing. I get that they're supposed to be like two country kids, but again, Bryce is a pharmacist. You need to say this. In what world is a pharmacist as broke as they are in this movie?
Judith works at a fancy office as a matchmaker for rich people. She doesn't need to go to a $1.99 buffet. Like, I was like, wait, what is happening?
I know.
What,
who are these
people? Jobs do not line up.
But also, did you notice how Judith really hated her job, but also didn't hide it ever? I was like, yes. Why is she still here? Like, she literally was like, huh? You want to meet somebody? That's sad. You can't just go meet somebody the old-fashioned way. Like, she was so... I was like, if she I was Vanessa Williams, judgmental. I would have fired her. Like, she wouldn't even made it into the door. Because she literally was like...
I think it was like, she hates it because she's like, I'd rather talk to people who are already married and having issues.
Right. Oh, my God.
She
okay.
wants to be a marriage
counselor.
So... Judith, one of her clients that she meets is Harley. Okay, she meets him at work, and he attempts to seduce her as they work late on matchmaking surveys.
He's a black tech billionaire. Mm-hmm. He's kind of reminding me of, what's his name from The Wire? One of them skinny boys from The Wire. Anyway, and he is just like suave, but also has serial killer eyes.
Absolutely. Yes. He's definitely creepy and really, really pushy. So when Harley questions the absence of sex in the surveys, he's like, you talk about religion, you talk about relationships, you talk about this and that. You don't talk about sex. Judith says she does not believe in premarital sex. And he tells her that her sex life is boring. So she's like, I'm Christian and I don't believe in premarital sex. He's like, so you're telling me that man you're with is the only man you've ever been with? And she's like, yes, and that's fine. And he's like, and you get into your bed and you lay down and you fluff the pillows and you just do it in the bed. And she's like, what's wrong with the bed? And like, they just go back and forth and it's so crazy. And then she's totally affected.
But like, before conversations that are meant to be titillating, and I need you to know these are shot in shot, reverse shot, static. Everybody is sitting. There's not a music. Like, it's the most, like, that's what makes it so slow. Cause you're like, am I supposed to be impressed by him? Cause y'all ain't even shooting this in a way that looks dynamic, let alone what he's saying is nothing special.
It's so true. Like, I don't get why he's supposed to be so alluring. Like, they don't show anything about his personality besides the fact that he's a little bit forward with how he talks about sex.
And then later you're like, oh, he's a piece of shit. Like, nothing about him is good. Also, Judith comes home, slams her husband against the wall, and she's like, fuck me like an animal.
And he's like, what? She's like, she's never tried to express herself that way. Yes. So she's like, they're like in the kitchen. She's like, do it like,
and he's like, you can growl at this sandwich, and we'll have sex later where we fluff the pillows, pull back the duvet.
He says it exactly
and
like
he does. Exactly what like, Harley wait, said in the previous what? Scene.
And then I was like, is that man stalking her? I was like, did he like hear
how did he know
and
that?
And then repeat it? Because later we find out he's, you know, we'll get
Tyler
there.
Perry doesn't trust anyone. Meaning he sure thinks his viewers are dumb as brick. So he has to have one person say it in the previous scene. Not even a callback, honey. It's just a repeat. And then literally the very next scene, it is, I'm going to do the thing that the guy said. Do you see how the guy was right?
Yeah,
we may be like the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a Tyler Perry style. Not to keep talking about the Oval, but there's a scene where the butler, I can't remember his name, but his wife cheated on him and had a kid. And then he's like, who's the father? And she's like, I can't tell you. He's like, who's the father? I can't tell you. For maybe 2 minutes. Who's the father? I can't tell you. And I was like, this is not a scene. You can't do this, Tyler Perry.
Just get in and out. Like, we know what they're getting at.
So redundant. Okay, so Bryce forgets Judith's birthday and doesn't notice that she changes her hair. At work, Judith receives flowers and believes they're from Bryce. Harley appears and notes the change in her appearance. The flowers are actually from him.
And also, this is the second time he's forgotten the birthday. This is the second time her husband has forgotten her birthday.
You need to set up Google Calendar alerts that give you a 5-day warning to prepare something.
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuse.
If you miss it once, you got to figure out how to never miss it again.
Exactly. And I mean, for a marriage counselor, she is not handling her business. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what something I would have been like, I have been hurt by you in the following ways. When you forget my birthday. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all need to be, for people who have known each other your entire lives, it's crazy that you don't communicate. That's the part that didn't make no sense to me. Y'all went through puberty together.
It's also crazy that he forgets her birthday. You've known her for, your whole life.
Right.
Like, so you know your birthday and her birthday. Those are the birthdays
should be,
you know.
Yeah, it should be like Christmas. Like, you have that one memorized.
So at home, Judith is petty and leaves a cupcake with a candle on the counter. Bryce realizes his mistake. And then he like takes out a hat and he sings and he dances in a cowboy outfit
for her.
This
was so weird.
What was that?
And that like really worked for her.
Yeah. I was like, Otis Redding, great. I love him. What a beautiful song. But like, you forgot my fucking birthday.
Exactly.
And I had to remind you by passive aggressively leaving a cupcake on
the counter. And then they like reconcile and everything's fine. And I was like, I don't know about this.
I didn't like that.
It's all is terrible.
So Judas.
So now
boss,
I hate Bryce, by the way. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I hate Bryce the moment
Bryce
he forgets
so,
a birthday.
Yes.
And you have to hate everyone.
But okay, well, this is the thing. I'm like, for a movie that's supposed to obviously teach me about the sanctity of marriage and the importance of living by Jesus's principles, the husband is trash.
Yeah.
That is, by the way, like that's where, as it goes on, you go like, I guess the moral is not to cheat. Like it's truly like, that is very clear. So Judith's boss, Janice, sends her to New Orleans with Harley to finalize a deal with shareholders. Now this is when they're on the plane and he like comes over and tries to like spread her legs.
Yeah, I was like, this is really uncomfortable. She said no several times.
Mm-hmm. She's and then literally said no.
He says, fine, you've said no. At least you could say you said no. And I was like, sir?
It was a really fucked up way to rape somebody, unfortunately.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, it was like, she was, but then she's turned on, but it's like, I mean, you know, it's an extremely complicated situation, you know, put in the guise of it's extremely simple, but it's like, actually there's so many layers to that. Mm-hmm. But what it is he just goes like, he's so pushy. She's saying, no, I do not want to do this. And then he goes like, well, that's now basically in the transcript that you said
right,
that.
It's so on the record.
When, you're not going to be in trouble with your husband when we now continue to have sex. It was like,
well,
yes.
But here's the thing. Do you remember though? I have to go back to this moment because this is the first time we realize he's crazy. So early on, they established that like Harley and Judith have run across each other literally. Like they both run in the same park every morning.
Yes.
They're very fit. So then there's a moment when like he's like, oh yeah, I'm there 8 a.m. every Saturday, whatever. So then you see the weekend where Judith gets up on a Saturday morning and like goes and like pretty much pretends to start running so she can bump into Harley. But see, and this is how you know God is not into this, because the moment she started running with him, a cyclist knocks her over and breaks her foot or something.
Well,
but
she runs into the cyclist.
Yeah,
it is
she
her
runs into
fault.
The cyclist. But Harley literally is prepared to beat this man to a pulp for accidentally hitting the girl who ran into him. Mm-hmm. So that's how you, that's your first flag.
Yes.
It's like, Harley, you, and she's like, Harley, stop. But then I think she like kind of likes it because she's supposed to like it because her husband wouldn't fight.
Well,
the
that's what's
pack
so complicated.
Of people at night, the gang at night.
Oh, that was another one where earlier in the movie, there's some guys who say, who like catcall her basically, and she's extremely
insanely
offended. Her reaction is so crazy.
Yeah.
There, it's a dark street. These like three or four guys say something to her about her being hot or whatever. She's with her husband. She goes like, come over here and say it to me. And then like is going insane about it. And Bryce is like, let it go. It's okay. And then they get home and she's like, rawr! It's like, you do need to let it go. Like, I mean, I don't know. That one was just so weird, but
it was
I think
so
that was the exact, you know, A to B sort of, he's like this. This guy's
he's
like this.
He's like this. Oh my God. This very much reminds me of every Lifetime movie I watch.
I was thinking about this. You have to watch a lot of people do insanely dramatic things.
Yep. And just say, and just say, like, make up stupid reasons for doing that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No justification.
So, okay. So then what happens is Judith's coworker, Ava, who's Kim Kardashian, gives Judith a makeover. In New Orleans, Judith and Harley complete the business deal and go dancing and sightseeing.
When they're sightseeing, they go to Cafe Dumont, and he feeds her a beignet. And I was like, no.
Absolutely
no.
Not.
The powdered sugar will go. No.
No way.
That, you don't
it's
do that.
It's already the messiest food.
Exactly. And also just in general, feeding someone.
Yes.
That's
so in
pretty
public?
Sick.
No, thank you.
No,
I don't want
like
anyone
like
putting anything in my mouth.
Lauren, I was like honestly worried this movie was going to induce labor because I thought that like your fetus was going to be like, I want this to be over.
I need to get
the
out.
Muffled, yeah, the
my, and my, my stress, you know, is high. It could have happened. On the way home, Harley and Judith have sex in his private jet. Okay, so that's when that happens.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is,
yeah.
So it's after, okay. it's after the trip. Okay, well, I forgot that.
Well,
but
it's like,
still
no, it's like after,
up.
Like, Kim Kardashian gets her dress to go on the trip. So now she's fancy for Harley. She's fancy
which
for
is also so disturbing. So then he takes her home and he meets Judith's mother, Sarah.
He comes up in his shiny red Corvette or whatever it is.
It's a Ferrari.
Shameless, like, literally is like, hello, mom. You know, and it's
truly.
Like,
he's like, I'm the new one. Hello.
And she's married. married.
He's right there. He's right there next to the mom. And she knows she has just been forced into sex with this man.
Oh, and her hair's all messed up after that.
Yes.
She's like, oh, this is
her
crazy.
Hair is messed up a lot in the movie.
I'm like, wait, why didn't you just like brush your hair?
Yeah,
after
why
you
didn't
had
you do anything to
plane?
Pretend that you didn't just have sex with this man? Yeah. Also, Bryce tries to kiss her and she like keeps her mouth closed. And I was like, you're not hiding this well.
Right. No.
So unhappy with Bryce's inattentiveness, Judith, oh my God, sneaks out to meet Harley and they have sex again. He demands that she leaves Bryce and offers to help with her business. They get into a fight and Judith leaves. This is wild because she sneaks out while her mother is at her house, while Bryce is there, and she like goes to have like a full romp with this man.
I know.
Like they're making food. No sense. And I'm like, how much time has passed?
I know. It doesn't make any. I'm like,
oh no.
You,
I was like, this movie is like 3 weeks long. Like or something. Yeah. Like no. The changes that happen and oh my God, it's insane.
But it's also like the thing that also like made me want to vomit in my mouth is he's like, I'll help you get your business started. One condition. You gotta be mine. And it was just like so gross. I was like, you are literally like being owned by this man. Why would you take the money of a stranger, a rapey stranger, who says you have to belong to him? Judith, I know you're from the country, but goddamn, you went to college.
Well, and it's like the second person she's had sex with. So she's like,
And then the fight was confusing because I can't remember what he said, but she's like, screw you, and then like throws food at him, she pushes him, she like moves his chairs, and I was like, this is
he's
wild.
A psychopath, because what had happened was he was like, you know, because he's like, you know, be mine, and then she's like, what about Bryce, like how do I get out of this, right? And he literally is like, get the fuck out of here, I don't want to play these games. And I'm like, she literally is like asking you, how do I consciously uncouple? And
yes,
he is like, get the fuck out of here, and she's like, what?
He's a psycho. Really?
I know. It's like, he's so psychotic that it's like, I just wish someone had shown her like Okay Cupid or something to be like, if you want to have an orgasm, you have other options.
Oh my God. You know? Please. Yes. So Janice fires Judith after finding out about her plans.
To go start a new company with Harley, because basically he's like, I don't want to do this app anymore. I want to make a marriage counseling center.
Judith like comes in and she's like, I'm giving you my 2 weeks. And then Janice is like, actually, today is your last day. And then she's like, good, whatever. Also, I found out you're from Georgia and you spent 2 weeks in France and you got this dumbass accent. And I was like, oh.
And then she was like, get out of here or something. Her accent completely changed. It was so crazy. So okay, Bryce discovers Judith is having an affair and begs Judith to return to him. Judith chooses to stay with Harley. Bryce goes over to Melinda's where she comforts him. Judith
Is that before? Is that that's
this
after
is the
montage
party.
Of insanity, right? Because there's a montage where literally it is just Bryce and Judith having a pretty woman moment.
Yes,
and he's just like buying her things and she's wearing glasses.
She's so happy that she's rich now.
Yes.
And I found it to be like the saddest character. Like I was just you are so superficial. Like she just was like, yay! I don't care who I hurt. Now I have a dress and I'm in a car. It's like, I don't understand. I don't understand. And it's also so confusing because I was like, you actually had all of this available to you before.
Thank
not
you.
This, maybe this
yes.
level of wealth.
He's
but
a
like,
pharmacist. I'm just going to keep
you
screaming.
You were doing fine. Money.
And then they get into another fight where Judith is like in her closet or what? Oh, because he says something to her and she was like, why does your mom leave you in a crack house again?
And oh, well, that's her. Who, what's his name? That's
oh,
at the end.
Harley.
Though.
Oh, is
that's
that
Harley's crazy
am I
ass.
Too? Am I too?
Oh, yeah. We
soon?
Haven't gotten there yet, girl. Because that's because
it's starting.
We find out about Brandy.
It's starting
oh,
to pick up.
Yes,
it's starting
yes,
to pick
yes,
up.
Yes, 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 yes. Sorry.
We have a couple more scenes.
So this.
That
oh,
happens.
So this is where he goes to the party in his pickup truck and she's like strung out with him.
Yes. Okay. So yes. They're at like a fucking like orgy, like opium den.
At his
and
house.
She,
his house.
Oh, that's his filled, house? I thought it was a club.
No, that was his house filled with every extra Tyler could round up in Atlanta.
It looked crazy. It's like blue lighting. It looks like a club. And they're all like on the couch and Judith like, is suddenly like. It's like, I don't know what happened to her,
but
she is
two blonde women on either side of him too. So then it's like, is Judith in an orgy with Harley and the two white girls?
It was super weird. It was, and it was such a leap.
But then Bryce tries to take her, and then she like she pushes him away, and then another blonde lady comes out of nowhere, and she's like, "Me?" And he's like, "Get away! Get away from me!" And I was like, "What? What is this party where you enter and then people go, okay, well, I have to fuck this new person?"
Totally. So Judith chooses to stay with Harley, which is a nice way of putting it.
They have a very sad fight. She's like out there and she's like, I like literally she went from like, I've known him my whole life and he's my best friend to like, I hate you and you're trash.
And he's like,
so she becomes pure evil, which we know Tyler Perry loves to do. He's like, if you're not sure, I'll make it very clear. You hate her now. Like, it's just like, there's no gray area ever.
And Bryce is so sad. He says, if you come home with me right now, I'll forget about all of this. And I was like, you're going to forget picking her up at an orgy?
Well, he forgot her birthday. He forgot her birthday twice. He could probably forget that too.
Fair. Bryce is like, he has like memory loss. And it's like, we need to address this.
He's like, don't worry, I'll forget this. And she's like, weighing my options. Okay, so Bryce goes over to Melinda's where she comforts him. Judith returns home to pick up a laptop and is surrounded by her. No, that's not yet where it happens.
When Melinda comforts him, he like tries to kiss her and she's like, hey, stop it. We're not even attracted to each other. And he's like, you're right.
When she said we're not attracted to each other, I was like, you know, he's not attracted to you. Like, I don't know. It was just like a funny thing to say. Like, wait, what are you doing? You're being crazy.
I liked it. It made me laugh because it was just so like, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, Tyler isn't totally out of his mind, because I did think we could live in a world where literally, because the way they set it up too, it's like, I mean, first of all, Melinda's Brandy, right? And Brandy didn't come here to not be wanted, not be loved, right?
And so that would have been like,
they're going to get together.
Yeah, and that would be an upgrade for her because she's trying to escape this bad relationship and he's like really stable and boring, and that'd be great. So, okay, Judith returns home to pick up a laptop, which is random. Mm-hmm. And she is surrounded by her mother and church members in a prayer circle.
Harley's with her. Mm-hmm. And he sees all these women in a prayer circle and he starts laughing. Like, he's like ready to fuck shit up.
They are together. They're the devil.
Yes.
Because then the prayer circle is like, you're home. She came back. She's home. Like, what they'd been praying for had happened. And then they're both like, get the fuck off of me. And they're like, just like storming through. And then Harley knocks down Sarah and forces Judith to leave.
Hard.
He flings her onto the ground. It's old lady. And at Harley's, Judith is outraged by his treatment of her mother. And so she's like slowly rifling through her clothes, picking out which one she wants to take. I'm like, just grab whatever. Like, it's like,
exactly. Also, it's like, out of there.
Why did you even ride back with his ass? You see what I'm saying?
Right?
He left mama on the floor.
Just stay there.
Like, picks her up, but then they go back to fight with each other. It's like, stay at your house. You need to be in the middle of the prayer circle. Okay? Quite honestly, she needed the prayer.
Seriously. And then he assaults her after she attempts to leave. And this is very brutal.
It is brutal.
This is where he was like, you knocked down my mom. And then he's like, whatever. And she's like, sorry that my mom didn't leave me in a crack house when I was a baby. And then Harley, I'll say this. This actor, he did a really great job of like turning literally fucking insane. Like, you saw him go through the motions of like, oh, I'm incentive. Like, this, I'm
like, he was
angry.
Looking for something. I thought
I'm
like,
angry.
For a gun.
I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof, he's scary.
Yeah, he was terrifying. But it's also like, because at first when they're fighting, they're both kind of pushing each other, right? At first, and she's going upstairs, and like, there was something about that fight where I did feel like that was very, before it gets violent, where he's like, come up the stairs, and then she's walking up the stairs, and she's like, I'll go upstairs if I want to go up the stairs. Like, the way you be saying shit, when you just like, want to prove that you're like, you don't tell me what to do, even though you're doing the thing the person wants you to do. So at first I was like, okay, is this going to be something? But then of course it became dark, 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 terrifying, because then he also says, he goes, I just love you so much. When you don't have my back, it makes me sad. And we're just like, what is insanity?
It's like, have my back. You knocked my mom on the ground. Like,
how much time has passed? You love her so much. Has it been 2 weeks? Has it been 10 days?
I know. There's no time. No time at all.
So Bryce has dinner with Melinda.
Okay.
She reveals.
Now here's this. We gotta talk through this reveal.
Yes.
So they're at Brandy's apartment.
Yes, her dirty apartment.
Her dirty 1942 hovel.
Yeah, she makes like one egg on the stove, and they're like having dinner or whatever. I don't even know what she made. And then like she literally out of nowhere,
in a moment of silence, no one has prompted her with any question.
Yes, she's just, like, I have HIV. And he's like, Bryce, what?
I have HIV.
Oh, my ex gave it to me, Harley. And then Bryce goes, no!
And then he goes, he screams in her face, Judith!
Oh, Judith!
Judith!
Yes.
Judith! About the woman who is not present. Right. He is screaming at Melinda, the name like, Judith. Like, that is something,
like,
okay?
But what? I would have been like, Harley who? I know a Harley. Harley? There's multiple people named Harley.
You definitely have to give the opportunity for it to not be the person that your wife is now with. And you also just need to have some compassion and be like, I'm really sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
Like, right. It was like, he jumps right to, like, flipping out about his own life.
Yeah, but and then she says something that, like, bugged me. I was like, this is wild. She was like, I knew that my ex was cheating on me and sleeping around. So, you know, I knew what I was messing with and it happened. And
right.
I was
like that's my part.
Yeah. No. Yeah. She said, that's my part in it. And no. I was like, no,
no,
no. That's an insane way to describe it. Maybe he was trying to like normalize being HIV positive, but like, that's not it. That's not the way you do
well,
it.
Well, also I'd say this though. You want to normalize being HIV positive? Don't have the girl living in a 1920s tenement.
Totally.
In the dark, in the dirt. You know, because I felt like for something you were trying to like make a dramatic reveal, it's like you made her such a, I mean, she was positive or upbeat, but her whole situation was downtrodden.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know
very
what I mean?
Bleak.
Like, I just have to start a new job and I got to walk in the dead of night and put my hood up. It's like, okay, this is not it. And by the way, for somebody who was running from Harley, Harley didn't seem to be worried about her. Harley was just doing his thing with her.
Yeah, Harley totally didn't fine. Give a fuck
he's
about
moved
her.
On. He's extremely wealthy. He's totally fine and has never thought about her again.
And
I guess is living with HIV as well, but we don't know that about him. I mean, we assume that.
Well, that's
he gave
why
it to
he gave
her,
it to her.
But
he
it's like, it so... you know, this brings back a lot of the issues that we've talked about with like the way men and women are portrayed, where it's like he's thriving even though he is pure evil.
Yes.
Brandy is like sweet and nice but like struggling, and it's like, what am I supposed to, and like, and all the women are abused and everyone, it's just, it comes up a lot.
I
don't know the lesson we're supposed to learn, so
I don't know. I don't either.
But it's also, so he runs away, but here's my other thing too though. It's like, I was very surprised. For me, I was like, okay, this is a thing to like give Brandy a moment. I was like, there's no way Judith, Miss Good for Jesus Judith, would have had unprotected sex with this guy.
Right.
Well, maybe she's only had unprotected sex because she's only slept with one person. She was like, and this is what we do for everybody.
Oh my God, you're right.
Right? Maybe somebody didn't talk to her about condoms.
We do for everybody.
So Bryce breaks into Harley's place with Melinda and finds Judith in the bathroom, truly just passed out.
She's in the tub.
In the bathtub.
Beaten, bloody.
Yeah. Beaten
up. Unconscious.
And you're like, where's Bryce? Bryce is nowhere to be found. So after taking Judith.
But wait, then he picks her up. He picks up, what's her name?
Judith.
Judith.
And she, what I had a really hard time with was that she was like completely beaten and in this tub. And then he picks her up and she's like, hi. And like, even the fact that her face moved like that, I was like, it seems like it doesn't hurt.
Is she drunk? That's the thing. Was she supposed to be like on drugs or drunk kind of the entire movie when she gets with Harley? Because that was the thing too, because she felt more wasted.
I think so, because she would stumble around a lot. Like she would get out of his red Ferrari and like stumble inside and you're like, okay. Yeah. So after taking Judith to his truck, Bryce goes back into the house and wakes up Harley, who is just, you know, taking a real deep snooze after beating up his woman.
He got tired. You know, and he's sleeping face down on the bed, across the bed in full clothing.
Yeah.
That's like how
so
evil
strange.
He is.
And when he wakes up, he's like, who's here? I don't know you. What's going on? So then Bryce beats him the fuck up and throws him through a window. I gasped. I was like, this is nuts.
It's so nuts.
Oh my God, it was so crazy. They fly through this window.
But didn't you feel like this was the part, like once like that Brandy reveal came, like what I imagine was Tyler Perry was sitting here writing this movie, you know, when he sets a timer for 45 minutes and he like just realized, he was like, oh man, this is going too long. I got to wrap this up. And then he just made everything happen within the last 20 minutes.
This is like Madea goes to jail, like, where Madea doesn't go to jail until the last 30 minutes.
Until the last 30 minutes, which is so wild.
Get her to the jail. I thought this was the joke. Like, come on.
Oh my God. So Bryce beats Harley until he's like fully unconscious, stopped by Melinda. As Harley regains consciousness, he calls out to Melinda, whose real name is Karen. And he's just like, Karen, I knew you'd come back. And I was like, sir, that's not it. But Bryce threatens Harley to stay away from Karen and Judith, and they leave.
Now, in the present day, now this is where I really...
I fully forgot we were even in this device.
I got mad at this point. So in the present day, the marriage counselor, anonymous marriage counselor, wraps up her story, and Lisa wonders how it ends. That's the white woman. She's like,
how does it end? She's crying, and she's like,
This is an hour-long session, 50 minutes at most, and you're up in here giving this?
She was like, and what happened to them? Like, she couldn't care more. So the marriage counselor tells her that, and this is the most like morality play type thing ever in the world. The marriage counselor tells her that Judith contracted HIV as well, but not Bryce. Lisa thanks the marriage counselor and decides to stay with her husband.
She's like, I'll end all in the relationship. I'll stay with my husband. I couldn't leave him.
What's going to happen is you're in love with this other man. You're going to get HIV and your whole life's going to fall apart. Exactly. It's like the craziest version of what can happen. Maybe she would just be happier with this other man. It's like, who knows what's going on with Lisa?
Yeah, also condoms.
Wear a condom.
Come on.
Jesus. Okay, so the marriage counselor is revealed to be Judith.
And if you didn't know that by now.
Yeah, if you didn't know this at the beginning,
I don't know what to tell you. She's looking like Journey's sister. And she got like 27 siblings. So I'm like, are they related? Because she's already looking like her anyway. Mm-hmm. But then when she's like, you know, is Judith, she's like, yes, she has HIV, but she's still alive. And so then after this very long, I mean, I'm hoping Judith didn't charge for the session. And then she leaves. And
judging by the office, maybe it was like a $5 session or something.
It strikes like one of those sliding scale joints, definitely. And then Judith, like, also, again, how much time has passed? She's dressed like a geriatric.
She's so old and she limps. She shuffles around. She shuffles to the pharmacy where Bryce still works to get her HIV medicine.
He's now 65.
He's so old.
But Brandy is also still
Karen
there.
Karen is still there. Melinda Stocking. Karen is still there.
But Stocking. What kind of drove me nuts was that Bryce is played by the same actor. Melinda is played by the same actress. And Karen, or what's her name? Judith is not.
And I think so that, was to throw us off.
But it's like, they should all be different then. Like, I don't even know. Like, but like, I'm still going like, why is Bryce, he has now a gray wig. And he and then his new wife's prosthetic nose.
Yes,
he did. It was like, what? Why are you doing an hour?
His new wife comes in with their child who's like four, and you're like, okay, so I and the pharmacy looks the same. So it's like, what has time passed?
Well, he's
has
in charge now, right? So obviously, Chapman died, and now he owns it because his dream was to own a pharmacy.
But yes. Waco Chapman passed away. She ate too much candy.
I realized at that moment I had seen this very clip of them. Not clip, like, meaning it might have been on TV, and I saw this part where it was like, she gets this old, this girl goes to
I
get a medicine.
I forgot her name was Waco Chapman until you said it.
It was so perfect that you remembered it. It really made me laugh.
It's insane.
Oh my God.
I remember her, like, getting her medicine. You know what I mean? And he's like, if you need, and like, again, because nothing can be subtle. It is literally him going, I'll do whatever you... He's like, I'm always here for you, Judith. Mm-hmm. And then Judith is leaving this beautiful, stunning black woman and her little boy. And then Judith kind of waves at the boy. But then you're like, does the woman know who Judith is?
The woman had no idea who Judith was.
35. Like, it's right. Like, so his life is like restarting with this young woman. And Judith like hobbles out.
You won the whole credits. There are 5.5 minutes of credits over Judith's ass hobbling with her HIV medication. That is how this movie went. The women have HIV, and the men worked it out.
Yeah, the men get to thrive.
Bryce didn't get it.
We don't. Bryce like, is not like, dead. As far
like,
as
to
we
literally
know.
Just be go. Like she goes. Like she, Lisa's like, what about Bryce? She's like, no, he didn't get HIV. And it's like, this is so crazy. So. Yeah, I mean that's it. So she goes to church to meet with her mother at the end, and the credits roll.
Her mom's
as
at church.
As she hobbles walks to church.
Truly, she hobbles
now
down
married
the
to Jesus, married to the
so
one
old?
Man she can trust.
I need years to be put on this. I need timestamps. Like this is 2019. This is 1949. Like
yeah,
tell me
it
when.
It would have been nice to be I like, know. When is this shit happening?
It made me like, I said to Lauren before you came in, Nicole, where I was like, it made my stomach hurt. I found that ending to be so depressing because if anything,
yeah.
What I wanted was the knowledge, like Bryce and Judith weren't right for each other. Like they never got to grow. They were in like, she acted out and what she did was wrong, right? And like, I would have been totally down if she was like, I found God and I realized I treated you wrong. Because I know he had God in there. You know what I'm saying? But did she have to get...
She didn't
human
have
immunodeficiency
to.
Virus.
She didn't have to.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
and
I'm,
be alone and sad and hobbling.
Yes,
that's the thing too. Alone that and
her,
sad.
I think her life like, was just so.
Tyler framed it as a punishment, and I don't think it's just something that like happens.
That happens. Is what made it feel so bad because it was like every time it came up, it was like. And that's because I cheated. And it's like, wait. This is like not indicative of like a moral decision or something.
Right.
It has nothing to do with anything.
Right.
So it just, it did feel like really negative to put it in that light. And I just thought it seemed really easy in a weird way. Like it's kind of like, okay. Like it just wasn't thoughtful.
Yeah. It was also like, it's okay if your husband doesn't remember your birthday and doesn't really talk to you. If he's a good Christian man, you make him dinner.
Totally.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
Yes.
They should have made Bryce like better as a husband to really make it feel like.
Then I would have been like, okay, maybe. Well, there's somebody to root for. There was no one to root for. You couldn't even root for Melinda because you were like, what's the hood? What are these boots? Is she fucking Robin Hood? What is happening?
Dirty. Wait, the boots. Like, oh my God, wait. Was she wearing the same boots at the end? Because she had
Yes,
on.
She was like wearing the same outfit
with a big skirt.
Exact
yeah, that was like, so all these years.
She did one shoot day. Brandy did one shoot day. Okay?
You know that's
she,
true.
She was like she half the day in a pharmacy, the other half of the day in the small apartment.
That's 100% a fact. There's no question. That's so true. And they were like, we only need one costume. You're fine. So, I mean, okay, let's jump into some of these awards. So the film won, Kim Kardashian won a Razzie for worst supporting actress.
Okay, great.
And Tyler Perry was nominated for worst director.
Oh, that's good.
The film currently has 17% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with a critic from the New York Times writing, limp pacing and countless shots of Washington skyline plague the narrative.
And yeah, we all missed where it was.
We had no idea. But audiences liked the film for the most part. It is a Rotten Tomato audience score of 66%. The budget was $37 million and it grossed $53 million domestically.
Okay.
Not one of his best.
No,
37 is way more than he spends in general, though.
Yeah,
I'm surprised it was that much.
Oh, maybe it was Journey.
Was like, there were like five actors and four locations.
Maybe Waco Chapman was really expensive.
Renee Taylor, she's been in the business a long time. She has a high rate, and honestly, she should get it.
The trivia from this movie. So while filming a pivotal scene between Judith and Bryce, Lance Gross slammed the door of the truck so hard the window shattered. Which guy is that?
When they're fighting.
Oh, yeah.
When they're fighting outside the party.
Yes.
Jeez, really aggressive. He didn't
you see it happen. They kept that take.
There's probably only one take.
Oh my God, you're right.
But also, that means real glass got on him. And now I'm worried that he didn't have the onset medical.
There was no medic. There was no medic to call.
I'm sure.
They said, you'll have to keep shooting. And he said, okay, fine.
Okay.
The film is loosely adapted from Perry's 2008 play, The Marriage Counselor.
And Tyler Perry wrote the role of Ava specifically for Kim Kardashian.
Because he watched The Devil Wears Prada and was like, Giselle, she was stunt casting as an assistant. I'll stunt cast Kim Kardashian as an assistant.
Oh my God.
That is so true.
Wow.
So I'm trying to figure out how long it took them to shoot this because a lot of times that's one of our trivia things and I love it. I can't figure that out right now, but
I do think he took his time on this.
So it was shot in Atlanta at Tyler Perry Studios. So that's also another reason why the city stuff always feels weird.
Yeah. And the rooms and the apartments are very much like the way you would shoot Good Times. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you've got three walls and it's like tied in, and I'm like, okay, this is all like a set of a
100%.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, very Good Times energy, but really just bad times.
No, Naomi, does this change your opinion of Tyler Perry movies? Would you watch another one? Will you watch The Oval? You know, these are the questions.
Absolutely
that we
not. Okay, I'm still mad at both of y'all, and that's why I had to keep talking, because I said, "What else am I here for?" Because they done broke me down with limping ass old version of Journey. And I said, this is the saddest shit I ever seen. And I swear to God, when it cut back to her finishing the story to the white girl whose husband walked out, I screamed. I had fully forgotten.
We did not need that at all.
Not at all.
Even knowing later that what happened to her character, I don't think was necessary. Like, it was just kind of like, because it was just so, kind of, I don't know.
Depressing.
Made me feel weird. Yeah.
Sad.
It could have just been enough for Bryce to have moved on and her to feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know
what I mean? Like, that would have been enough without the implication that all she has is her mom and God now. Not that having your mom and God isn't enough, but it's, you know, wasn't what she wanted.
But I think Tyler Perry really, I think he wanted to like twist the knife that there's only one pharmacy in town and she's got to see Bryce.
That's so brutal that she has to go to that pharmacy.
Yeah, you're right. And then, oh my God, yeah, why did she go?
And the amount
of
time that's passed now since she looks much older and like she has a whole different head, it's like, you're like, wait, so why is her life never got anything going for it? Like, except she
was a
marriage
counselor.
But that's it. That's it. It's like
the unmarried counselor who tells everyone. She tells every single patient that story.
Every single day she tells that story.
She tells that story.
Just to convince them to stay together. That's it.
Yep. She's just telling people to stay together.
How depressing. Yeah, this movie was really depressing.
Yeah.
I feel like my like love of Tyler Perry is a little bit waning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause like I really loved Madea, but then like the last couple of Madea movies we saw, I was like, there wasn't thought behind it, and it didn't feel like Tyler was being, you know, caring with Madea.
I know,
genuinely saying this.
No, it's true, because I think we were like we came into it like super open minded, and we were like finding things to love with so many of them. But there's just some of these movies are just like they're ridiculous. Like, and you have to admit it. Like, it's just like, this is absurd. The storyline of this. I like the absurdity in some of the situations. Like, I like, even when Brandy goes, I have HIV, I was like, okay. Like, it was like, there's something about it that's like so blunt and like not connected to anything that you're like, that's kind of fun, because he just follows his impulses,
right?
But then you after you've watched, you know, 14 of them, you long for some like structure, and you know,
well didn't you say though, Lauren, at one point you were like, Brandy's in a different movie that we don't get to see?
Oh yes, like, yes, because you see her like at work, and then you don't know what's going on with her at all until she reveals this whole thing at the end, and you're like, why is this woman like, for like an hour I'm wondering what her deal is, and I'm like, where's she now, what's she up to?
Yeah, it was as if Tyler Perry was like, I do have a B storyline, but it's going to actually be like a Y storyline. It's going to be so far away from the A storyline. We'll get back to it when we get back to it.
But like, why? But then it's also, but to me, I hate that kind of stuff where it's like, then why Brandy? It could have been any old person from the Tyler Perry verse. You know what I mean? Like any old actress. To me, the moment you put in like such a recognizable like pop star, I'm like, okay, something's about to happen.
It's like, it does set you up to think something's going to happen. It's like on when like SVU, like there's like a celebrity who's like being interrogated. Yes. Like, okay, they're the killer or whatever. But like, it feels like that. Like, we were like, okay, something's going to happen with her character. But then you don't see her for so long that you're like, or not. Like, there is a world where he just throws her in there because he wanted to. Because
she was in Atlanta that weekend.
Right.
Instead, he said, I'm going to give beloved Moesha / Brandy Norwood HIV. Because she...
And blame herself for the HIV.
Yes, that she blames herself for staying with someone who cheated on her. Tyler, we got to talk about this one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was dark.
I agree. Well, we are coming to the end, you know, which I think is probably great for you, Naomi. But do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Well, look, if y'all listening to these two talk about Tyler Perry, you can come to I Love a Lifetime movie. Don't play.
Yes.
Okay? It is the same type of motion picture. And it is true insanity. And it is me and a white woman, the similar dynamic to this. And we're just getting into it. Episodes drop every Thursday. But we are like sponsored by, Lifetime. So, you know, we have to be a little respectful.
Yeah, that's tricky. And couples therapy. Everyone should listen to couples therapy, which mm-hmm. I love so
thank
much.
You so much. I was nervous to promote two podcasts.
Oh my God.
So
well, thank you for going to promote the Mythic one. Quest yeah. as well.
Promote you gotta it all. Watch MQ.
You're,
come on.
And you're on Tuka and Birdie. You have yeah. a lot of
yes.
things to
yes.
do.
Promote it all. Vocal. Tell yes. these people where they can find you.
Come visit me. I'm hanging out on Instagram at Blacktress Comedy. Mythic Quest season 2 is out here on Apple TV. I'm out here trying to podcast, hun. I'm opening for Nicole at the Improv.
Yes,
I mean, we out
are?
Here.
Yes, oh in God. Irvine. Yes.
So kind.
Hold on. Let me find
June
25th,
26th, 27th.
Yes, yes.
Great. So this will come out in time for people to go get those tickets. That's great.
Well, it is sold out. But,
oh, well, they never may mind. Release more tickets because I think June 15th, everything is like open again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were like half sold. I don't know. I don't, there might, just look,
there
might be
more. Check it out. Check it out.
That's going to be a good show.
It's going to be very fun. I can't wait.
Well, it's time for our five hallelujahs segment.
It's my favorite thing. And I like refuse to say it. I just will keep talking till Lauren says it.
I always think maybe this time and then no, I have to say it. And this one comes from Curly Churly 11, 5 stars. Love this podcast. Hi, Lauren and Nicole. I love this podcast and I've seen most of the movies in all 3 seasons and I enjoy your take so much. I listened to the Star Wars season 3 times in a row and still belly laugh when Nicole says Han Solo. Listening to the Tyler Perry season, you guys point out a lack of reactions after big moments. And I think it's because in a play, the act would end after the wine bottle. So he just cuts the scenes in the movies the same way. Shrug. Anywho, love you guys. Can't wait to listen to the rest of the season. That's a great point.
Yes. Thank you, Curly Cheerly 11.
And then we have one from Keemib, and it's called Hallelujah. Wait, what? You guys are living in my brain rent free. I'm a big fan of your pod. I anticipate your new episodes weekly. I'm having way more fun listening to these recent reviews of the MCU. And I love that even after watching this many of Tyler Perry's productions, you are still as confused as I am about the character relationships. Am I going to dig any deeper to understand? Oh, hell no. The fun is being confused, but still can't stop watching. Keep up the good work, you guys.
It
That's
is
very
funny
nice.
That we consume a lot of stuff and are still confused. Like, Star Wars still confuses me. Lord of the Rings still confuses me. Yeah. I have no idea who's related to who.
Oh,
in
I don't
Perry's
know Star
universe.
Wars either. So
no,
that makes sense.
We've, we've done as much research as people possibly could, and yet we're still lost. Everyone out there, write more reviews for us. We'll pick more to read. We have one more episode left, so give us 5 stars. It helps the show. And we'll be back next week with our final Tyler Perry episode.
Oh. Boy, oh boy.
It's the end of an era. Wow.
And
yeah,
thank
I'm
God.
Like pretty bummed, but also so thankful that I was introduced to the Oval that I'll talk about for the rest of my life.
Oh my God. I'm going to watch the Oval. I'm going to watch the Oval.
Oh my God.
I really liked the pilot. I thought it was so crazy. So I am going to watch that. I need some things to binge.
Crazier. And I'll just tell you this real quick. We've seen the scene where the first son throws cum on this doctor. The scene
what?
After. Okay.
Okay. You just said something real crazy like it was matter of fucking fact.
The first son is really sick. He's not okay. And he like jerks off in front of people. And there's a scene where he throws his cum on this doctor who very calmly
what?
Like leaves the room. She was like, please stop. Please stop. And he's like, I can't. I'm sick. And
oh,
then throws
God.
It on her. Ah! And then the scene after was truly like Tyler Perry being like, I don't really know where to go with this. Because everyone was like, he did something to her. Is she okay?
What?
Oh,
it's
no.
So funny. Like, you can literally see that he didn't know where to go after.
I'm so upset. Why do you keep upsetting me?
The pilot alone had enough crazy shit in it that, I mean, just the stuff that happens is so insane. All at the White House, and you're like,
yes.
Like the First Lady and
oh,
the
right,
President.
I forgot the presidents.
Yes.
The First Lady and the President are kicking each other's asses
yes.
right before the inauguration ball. And like
what?
They're beating the shit out of each other, and then like
what?
The reveal is that they're the president and first lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just in this hotel room, and they're like they're like punching each other, and then like someone's at the door, like Mr. President, it's time for the ball or whatever. And like,
oh, that's your part, Lauren.
That's yours.
It's time for the bye. And like, they're pretending they can't hear the fist fight happening on the other side of the door. It's just
truly
incredible.
Wild.
Well, Naomi, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was so fun.
It feels... you're welcome. Okay, I was going to say thank you, but I just don't know.
No, that's fair.
No, thank you guys so much. So good to see you, and I am forever changed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.